Pravica Karlovac, Piki Jovos, Perakseni, Yud, Yudala.
I learned about Rabbi Eliezer, his shita, his way. And now we're going to see what every one of these Tanaim is trying to teach. So now we see Mishnah Yud. Hem Amru Shlosha Dvarim. They used to say three things. Everyone and one of them used to say three things. Who is they? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. That had the, every one of them had his way in Avodas Hashem and developing his inner self. And now the Mishnah Avot is telling us, you know, every one of them used to say three things. I mean, well, Rav Lezer. First one is Rav Lezer. So Rav Lezer said three things. I mean, didn't they say thousands and thousands and thousands of things? You know, the whole Mishnah, the whole Talmud is full of Rav Lezer sayings. So what do you mean he used to say three things? What does it mean? What do you think? What is, who used to say three things? What does it mean? So what the Mefarshim say here, Rabbi Yehuda says here, these are the three things that he saw it as basic things. He used to repeat it, these three things are basic. And in order to develop the way he understood the Shita of Avodas Hashem. So it used to be three things, each and one of them. Now why three? Why not two? Why not four? Why not five? Why three? It was like a strong combination. Three. Could be. So like three things are the basic. But sometimes, you know, you have one thing that's strong, could also lead to something, you know. But yeah, that could be. There's explanation that says the Chutam Shulash Shlomo HaMelech said. Chutam Shulash, when you take a thread, you take one thread, you can tear easily. Two, you can tear easily. When it's three, lobby my attack. You won't manage to cut it. It's three, it's strong. There's one of the Mefarshim explains here and says like this. We have three aspects of our relationship, of our the way our personality reacts to the outside world. Or it's three aspects. Of our personality, of our way of behavior and way of reaction. Yeah. One thing. The first thing is you, ben adam la adam, between you and you, between you and yourself. Meaning, this thing hasn't got to do with society. Hasn't got to do with someone outside you. But it's way the inner development of your inside, of yourself, your inner self. That's one aspect. The other aspect is ben adam lechavero, yeah, between you and a fellow friend. We have a lot of mitzvahs got to do with it. The third aspect is ben adam lemakom, between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we see also the Torah, the mitzvahs, are divided into these three things. One part of the Torah, yeah, is ben adam lechavero, between you and your friend. For example, what would be a mitzvah of ben adam lechavero? An example about it? A mitzvah that is
between man and man?
Yeah, between man and friend. Yeah, you and friend. Man and man, yes. Like, for example, what? Hashomas Aveda. Rafta Rechaka Moicho. So, then we have another part that it's between you and God. For example, you and God.
Shabbos,
yeah. Tefillah. And there's another part that, it's really there where it begins. It's more where it begins. That's between you and you. It's you and you, between you and you. It hasn't got to do directly to others. It hasn't got directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the way you inside, the way you are developed, the way you behave. Yeah. Here we have like I would say, like the mitzvah of or let's say the issa, yeah, of let's say lo tatur acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. You shouldn't go according to your mind, according to your inner will, bad will you have. You should try and work on yourself. Yeah, that you shouldn't easily get tempted by what you see. Tempted by what we see or what you hear. Things like that. So these are the three parts of Torah. This is really the three parts of our behavior and our development. And that's why we have three things, because every one of them, as we're going to see, is going to say one thing that's got to do with Ben Adam LaChaveiro, you and your friend. Another part that's got to do with Ben Adam LaMakom, you and God. And the other part is between you and you, how you develop your inner soul, your inner mind. And in the other side, we should not forget that every one of them has their shita, yeah? So it's according to the shita saying, well, we have these three parts. Let's see how we do it, how we keep it. So this is an explanation, the way the Maharal goes. And now let's see how it works out. Try and understand it and see how it works out in the saying, as they say. So, Hem Amor Shosha Dvarim, just say three things. Rablezer Omer, Rablezer used to say, Achihud, you are honored to read it. Yeah.
Well, mine's numbered different from yours, so like...
What Mishnah is it?
Yeah, remember you said we done right. Nine, but I'm like way ahead of you.
Okay, let's see where you are.
Here you.
Hema Mushlo, it's the last one. Tetvav. So I'll say it in Hebrew, then you translate it, okay? Hema Mushlo Shadvarim, Rab Lezer Omer, Yehi Kvot Chavercha Chaviv Alecha Kishvot. You should only be friend. Va'al Tehi Noach Lichos. Veshuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. So.
Each of the disciples said three things. Rabbi Eliezer said, let the honor of your fellow be as precious as your own. Do not be easily provoked to anger. Repent one day before you die.
That's it. Okay. So these are the three things. There is another part in the Mishnah, but we'll go according to the Shitta. The other part of the Mishnah hasn't got to do with the three things. That's the Rambam. We're going according to the Rambam. So, let's first see the three parts. Yeah? The first part is, as you said, Yehi kvot chavercha chaviv alecha kesholcha. You should honor your friend as you honor yourself. So, he is talking about which part? Which part are you talking about? Ben Adam LaChaveiro. Yeah, that you should honor your friend as you honor yourself. Now, the second part is Al Tinoch Lichos, meaning you shouldn't become easily angry. That should be like between you and you, yeah, the way you should behave, yeah, the way you should control yourself. Don't get easily angry. And the first part is go back, tshuva. Do tshuva one day before you die. One day before you die, you should do tshuva in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the part of you in front of God.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. But now let's see every part. First of all, Yehi kvod chavercha chaviv alecha kesholcha. You should honor your friend as you honor yourself. Why is it so important? This part of honor. Yeah, now, it's not talking about here about love. We all know what Hillel said. Hillel said, you should love. Yeah? Remember the story of Hillel?
Sure.
You know the story of Hillel? Yeah? Or the story of Rabbi Akiva? Hillel, it's the same idea. That one of the... one. Gentile came to him and said, I want you to teach me the whole Torah on one leg. So he went to Shammai and Shammai chased him away. Well, we can't learn the Torah on one leg. It's difficult. You can't do it. Yeah. So Hillel said, well, I can. He came to Hillel and says, yes, sure. He says, what is it? He says, whoever you hate, don't do to your fellow. Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud of World Commendable, has also said it in a different way. He says, this is a big cloud gadol b'Torah. Vafta l'arecha kamocha. Same idea, you should love your fellow man as you love yourself. But here Avleda says, he's talking about honor. But we know you should love your fellow man as you love yourself. He says you should honor your friend as you honor yourself. Why do you talk about honor?
Respect.
Respect. Why not love? Because it's got to do, as we remember, Rav Lezer is talking about you should have a good eye, right? You should look at things positively. Then, that's the basic. That's where you should begin. And then love will come. Then good will come out. But the basic thing should be good eye. Look what you see, look at it positive. That's the basic. So what Rav Lezer is telling us, you know, if you honor your friend as you honor yourself, then all the rest will come. You develop love to your friend, you develop appreciation, you develop tzedakah, giving chesed. But the basic should be honor. That's the basic. The basic is honor, meaning everyone is a human being. Everyone is everyone has his own qualities. Look at positive. Like you, even the bad parts, yeah? So everyone has his bad parts, right? Everyone has it. But still, between you and me, one says, well, but there is a good side to it also, you know. Okay, I have this bad part, maybe this is not so positive, but still, it all has a good aspect also. We keep our honor for ourselves, right? We don't lose honor for ourselves. We don't lose respect for ourselves. So what Rav Lezer is saying, well, you should respect your fellow friend as you, if you respect him as you respect yourself, meaning you look at him positive, Ayin Tova, all the rest will come later. So he's telling us the foundation of relationship between human being to human being is respect. That's it. By the way, it's been very interesting. I once used to teach in a school. Revolver. Hit a revolver? Great thinker. Mashgiach. Was Mashgiach of Kol Torah. He used to teach us in this yeshiva also. He used to teach in Dvar Shalom. So he came to teach us. So he began with a question. He said, you know, we all teach children. We also do chinuch. And every one of us, one day, we need to also teach, you know, our children. Today, for years and years, like, as we look at the traditional way of the way schools were ruled, the relationship between teachers and students were based on fear and punishment. So they say, well, we have to listen. If you don't listen, then you're going to get punished. It was a Yemenite, old guy I met a few months ago. And I saw him, was sitting like this. He had a chumash, and was like this. Going like this. On the chumash. And it was like very close. I asked him, why is it like this? It was a son. His son was like, why are you studying like this? With your cheek stuck to your... He said, well, this is my Mari. Mari is a teacher in the school.
Yeah.
In Yemen. Yeah, what do you, my Mari used to do? He used to take a stone. We used to sit around him with a chumash, and then he used to take a stone, put it under our chin. We have to sit like this, with the chin stick to our chest. If the stone fell, He gave us a with a stick. Slapped our hand with a stick. If the stone fell. But that he had to keep it. That he shouldn't move his eyes, shouldn't move his head to look outside. Stay in the book. So we got used to it. That's how we study Chumash.
That can't be healthy.
No.
That doesn't sound
good. But you know, many generations of Jewish children were raised that way, so I don't know. And the Yemenites are known as a great people of knowledge, you know, yeah, and strong discipline. And you know, you can go, this guy, he can quote the Rambam from the beginning to the end. And his profession is a smith.
He's Yemenite.
He's a Yemenite, and he works. He used to work. Now he's old. He used to do very jewelry, beautiful jewelry. Now but he used to study while he's working.
Yeah.
And he used to go on Rambam and saying again, again, and again.
Wow.
So. And many Yemenites think this, they have a great knowledge, a lot of knowledge, but still. So, I mean, but that was the basic of the relationship between grown up and children was fear. You know, you have to listen. If you don't listen, you get punished, and that's it. And if you do listen, you're going to get to, you know, a reward. You're going to get sweets, or I don't know. Or a ride on a donkey.
Yeah.
That's what that's what they got. Whoever was he said that if you learned a mission, you knew it all, then you get a ride on a donkey. That was the great surprise.
But they might have also had like great respect for their man. They looked up to them, wanted to be like them.
So that was like one way, you know, based on fear and I would say fear and reward. But today's generation talks more about, you know, you have to the relationship between teacher and children. Teachers should be based on love. They should love him.
Okay.
They should love the teacher. They should love the study. They should what they study. They should love. Try to make it as much as more easier and as much as they can to add to it. You know. Other aspects, not directly got to do with teaching, learning. In order to make it interesting, we should love it and make it an experience, an interesting experience, and so on. So today, the chinuch, the way of chinuch is based on love. Says, but what's the truth? You have always said. It says it was a great idea. It said, well, what's the true? The real relationship should be between teacher and teacher and children and teachers, and between parents who teach children. It's the same thing. It says what should it be according to the Torah?
Yeah,
should it be based on love or based on fear?
But maybe both. And we need both.
Maybe
like,
need both.
Like our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu.
That's a point. You say, well, of course, that's a point.
Look at it on
what do you say, love or fear?
Fear.
What should we do with fear?
Fear.
And what do you say of Chatzkel? What should we do with the relationship between the basic relationship between.
You need the love, but you can't get anywhere unless you have the fear in Hashem, too.
Yeah, you need also fear and also love.
You have to have both.
Well, I've always said, the Torah has a third one, number three. What is the third way? Well, open up the Torah and see what it says. Look in the third sentence, what does it say? Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. You should honor your father and your mother. It didn't say fear, it didn't say love, it says you should honor. Because it says the basic relationship is based on honor. Because if it's based on love, well, sometimes you don't love exactly what it says, or sometimes you don't accept it. Yeah, you don't understand, especially a child. Sometimes it can fall over, you know, because he doesn't understand his parents, he doesn't understand his teacher, or he did something bad, and then he needs to get punished. So there's no love there. I mean, the love is there always, but it's not shown. Sometimes fear is sure not, or something to make a basic healthy relationship on. So what is it? What is the basic? The basic is kavod, to honor. You should honor your parents. That's the basis. Whatever your feelings are, this basic feeling of of having honor and respect, that's what's there.
He said, well, let's begin a minute with children and parents. The most important thing is that that children respect the parents. They don't always understand what he said, not always understand what, they don't always love what he says, but they know he's my parent. He gave me life, he grew me up. And also, that gives us to respect what he teaches, what he tries to give over. The same is also teacher and the students. They don't have to love the teacher, they don't have to love what he teaches, but they have to respect. That's the basic thing. Because if a child respects his teacher and respects what he teaches him, then he can be sure he's going to accept it. He's going to learn. He's going to relate to it. That's the basic. So as well, this is our generation. You know, I've always said this is our generation. Forgot it. We speak about love and fear, but we forgot the idea of respect. That's even more basic. A basic relationship. So. That's how we see Karatav Chatemecha. That's the most important thing. Now, if you said, as you said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that really should be also the basic relationship between we should respect the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that would bring us love and that would bring us fear. It's what's called in the Chazal, it's called, we won't go too much into it, it's called Yir'at HaRoMemot, meaning you respect the Kodesh Baruch Hu so high that it brings you fear, not fear of what he can do to you, fear of how high he is, how holy he is, how deep is the wisdom of Hashem. That's the idea of respect. It's called Yirat HaRoMemot. You respect so much that you fear. You know, it's like you meet one day, I don't know, King Charles III, yeah? You respect him so much, I mean, some would, not know if everyone would, you respect him so much that you even fear, you know, maybe make a mistake, maybe you offend him, maybe your clothes are not suit the the situation when you're standing in front of him and so on. That's high respect. High respect. That's called Yirat HaRoMemot. So I won't say that's the till they should come, but we should keep always respect according everyone according to what he is. So a teacher was a teacher, and a parent is a parent, and a friend is a friend. But the basic idea is, again, what Rav Lezer teaches us, that also the relationship between us and our friend is to respect him. How? As you respect yourself, that's where it begins. You know, respect yourself in some way. That's how you should respect yourself.
Isn't there a difference on being like respectable and like a pushover?
What do you mean? Meaning what? What do you mean pushover?
Like there's this woke movement in America.
Yeah.
You know, they're all on this equality trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the best example I can give of this is what happened to the church.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a child...
Do you know what happened to the church? What happened to the church? I mean, I don't know, in some countries, yeah? But what happened to the church? Why in Europe, let's say in Europe, what happened to, why is it gone? Why does the church today in Europe has no power anymore? Why? Because they lost the respect of the people.
The church says about itself. So,
yeah. But you think about American church, right?
Basically what happened, it's a bit different. Was, when I was a child, it was really... people went to church dressed like this, and the women wore dresses. And the older I got, and then especially like after I had left, this had
changed,
eroded. It was no more. And yeah, like people didn't go to church in blue jeans. And if you did, then you were like someone who just got out of jail, you know, they got a free pass, you know, and if they had tattoos, you know, you covered your tattoos. Over time, this eroded. And by the time I had left, what had ended up happening was the homosexuals were not allowed in. And then the homosexuals came along and were like, oh, well, you're not loving and forgiving and tolerant, and, you know, you're not being respectful to us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the people were like, oh, well, you're right. You know, we should be respectful of everyone because God loves everyone. And this respect turned into them letting them in, and then it eroded away the value system, and now you have them marrying
gay couples. So what you say is the respect to values and the respect to the sayings of God were replaced by respect to human beings.
Right, like
we shouldn't be respected.
Shouldn't respect be something that is earned?
Yeah.
And it's something that should be earned, though. Like, should I, like,
you're talking here about something very, you know, very problematic. You know, that happens to many values.
Yeah, it's
especially the values of the Western world.
I mean, it happened to a lot of the synagogues. These groups came along and were like, oh, well, you know, we want this guy to make tshuva, so we're going to give him an aliyah to the Torah, even though he's driving to shul on Shabbat. You're not allowed to give him an aliyah to the Torah if he drove to shul on Shabbat.
Miami, saw a gay pride flag.
Yeah. Yeah, the Chabad rabbi in Florida, I think it's around the Miami area, he gives the homosexuals aliyahs to the Torah and lets people drive to... Huh? But it's an issue. So like, where do you draw the line with respecting people?
He's not talking to big place in Bokotone. Bokotone is not that way.
It's not that way.
Not at all. Bokotone is a young Israel, and it's unbelievable. Miami. Yeah, it's Miami. I don't believe that
Orthodox rabbi would do it.
I can't believe he's
coming. I know for a fact they're doing it because I know a guy whose parents live there, and the guy's doing it. And the parents are cool with it, by the way. He's not cool with it, but
because he believes it. The Babbitts wouldn't permit it.
When I was in America,
it's probably
a cult.
He's very against it coming into society. He gives Shirima. You can find it on YouTube. He's very strong. Yeah. But it seems like it's fundamentally different between acceptance, like saying, you know, whatever you believe,
or
whatever,
honor.
Whatever you want is fine, versus maybe a situation where you're trying to bring someone closer, trying to get someone to come.
Rabbi Chabad used to say that you should always do. Okay, try and do kiyuv, approach people, but never ever lose the values. Yeah. Never
go down.
So what? How much respect do you give someone on the onset? Is what I'm asking. How much respect do you give people? From the onset, because like. Yeah, but I'm not a friar. I could have gave the Arabs the benefit of the doubt the other day too.
We're talking about friends.
Okay, well then give George Soros the benefit of the doubt.
Why? We know who he is.
But you've met him. You've met the man. You sat down and had tea with him.
Did you?
Listen, I can tell you this. When you talk about respect and love, the love of the Jews, it's not talking about somebody who's openly against, it's not an intercourse, or something like that. You're talking about a guy, okay, Dr. Newton, he's trying to keep something, maybe he's not as religious, you've got to love him. You're talking about a Hasidic guy, he's not doing the messianic thing, you've got to love him. Even if he's Belgian, you have to love him. He's a Jew, you have to love him. Even if you don't agree with whatever, you have to love him. Yaki, who is always precise on whatever, and really annoying about it, you gotta love him. Even the guy who's jumping up and down on the bus, as long as he's not being embarrassed, you gotta love him. Even though I don't agree with it, you gotta think it's a bad way to go because you float off into space. I'm not talking about a guy who's doing messianic stuff.
where it's borderline Vodazar. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about my mother, my wife, my sister's mother-in-law who takes the kids picking food on Shabbat, dafka on Shabbat. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about somebody who, like, is a very light Datu Lubi.
Part of the society, part of your life.
Not light Datu Lubi or Masorti trying to do the stuff. They're not against it. They're not breaking the stuff. Maybe they're not educated. You're not alone. You're better than
Yeah.
Even the guy with the big zumbala, you got to love
him. Oh, then why don't you eat the cheese? Give them the benefit of the doubt.
So that's a technical thing.
Oh no, it's not technical, man. You gotta practice with your preachers and prick out vote, man. You gotta eat the cheese, bro.
My problem with the cheese that I came to was I didn't know the Heksher, I didn't know if it was Halab Israel. I didn't recognize it. And you were fine with eating the cheese. I'm not saying it's not kosher, I just don't know what they're doing.
But you gotta give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese is very complicated, by the way. So
it was good cheese, wasn't it, Larry? It was good. We ate it last night.
Marsh cheese. Some marsh
but usually you buy something. Most of the products are not kosher.
It said Halal Israel on it. Your wife overlooked it. It said Halal Israel on the back of it. It did. It said not on the tubs on the Parmesan.
Parmesan, fine.
Yeah.
The tub.
No, not the tub.
Okay.
The tub did say Halal
Israel. So Miguel was giving honor to teachers and then friends. Now honor for
the cheese. Order the cheese.
I'm not saying it's not kosher. I just don't want to eat it.
Just don't move my cheese. That's it.
By the way,
all the rest is okay.
You're going from wine, one level down, it combusts with cheese because of
right. Yes, it is.
It's really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that cheese.
Why do they put in it?
Why do they even need it? And if any simple acid will cause it.
No, it's not easy because it's got to do with the taste and the process. It's always got to do with.
I don't know the Heksher.
And
I just didn't recognize it. I bought the wrong thing.
And it always needs some sort of protein or something. So
yeah, to break it.
And then it could be meat and all that.
There's a lot of complexity to it.
I mean,
and I don't know the thing.
You know that the classic way of doing meat.
Cheese
with cheese, yeah.
Rennet. You do that way forever. Splits it in a second. The second it splits it.
Yeah.
In a second, the enzyme splits it like that right away. So you get it in and it splits.
A special enzyme or something.
Yeah, an enzyme from the lining of the stomach. So they scrape it out and they use it to make cheese.
So that's a problem.
That's why European cheeses are so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't see on the mascarpone, which I like mascarpone.
Mm-hmm.
My question was, is it Halav Israel? I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, well, you don't want to go to waste.
Marov says that all Tanuv is Halav Israel.
I don't know. Maybe. I have no idea.
Nova? Yeah. Probably, yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe. I don't know.
So that's why they don't put it on there. Cause
Nova? Nova, it must be called Israel, but it's all done by... it's all Israeli milk, but sometimes they have also imports. Nova could also import some. If it's done by themselves, right. They can also import cheese. Then
so you look on the back, and if it says from Israel, then it's not a problem. But if it's imported, then...
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. That makes sense. Okay.
And it's all about Chinese Communist Party.
Do we check for microchips in the cheese?
Yeah.
Well, they roll half of the...
A camera in the cheese thing.
Yeah,
we want to know who's eating it.
Roll it all.
Back to China. Food security. Now is very strong. That's why they're colonizing Africa. Like to guarantee that they.
They were smart. They enslaved them in Africa instead of taking them to China.
Right.
They just trapped them there.
They're also here in Israel. They took one of the ports.
I'll tell you what they did in China. Very smart. They made a deal with all the criminals in China, serious criminals. And they said, well, we'll give you a reduced term, but here's the deal. We're going to fly you in to the jungle in the middle of nowhere. you're going to work, you're going to build roads, you're going to build hospitals, you're going to pour concrete, and you're going to do it for like X number of years, and you're going to do sentences. So they had prisoners coming in. I saw the planes like this. They emptied out the 747s, no seats. Everybody's just on the floor like this, flying in prisoners, into the jungles in Africa, nonstop, all the labor. Babies like Baltic Road days.
Sound like
and I said to him, I said in China, I said, why don't they like run off? Where are they going? Into the jungle? Because the Africans will eat them.
Yeah.
He says, they're not running away. And he says, they're not running away. They're staying there.
I would have stayed. I'll pull my sentence, thanks.
So,
how much respect do you give someone for not answer? Like what's the
let's put it this way. You should respect them as you respect yourself. Check yourself, what respect would you, if you would be in the same situation, yeah? What respect would you demand of someone? Be straight, be real with yourself, look at the mirror.
Right.
Sometimes people do strange things. They know they're doing it, and they know, well, they did it, and they still don't deserve respect, okay?
Yeah.
They know it, okay. If you think that you deserve, then give him. But if you know, well, if you do it, you won't, then. It's a good way, you know, it's a good way of checking yourself. How we behave to others, that's what you do. Same idea, it makes sense.
Every person has some type of good in them.
Exactly.
And that's what you have to look for in that person.
So respect the part good.
I mean, we learned before that the Russia, you just stay far away from.
The
right.
Russians? Yes.
Russia.
Yes,
Russia,
same
thing. Russia. But you have to look at
respect the good point.
But I don't
see what Heskel said. The good point in him, respect. That you should keep.
You it's show him that, he'll start changing.
Yeah, exactly.
When people say, like, love your fellow Jew, it doesn't mean go to George Soros or Russia or a guy who's openly picking fruit just because of Shabbos, or the guy who goes to the market in Tel Aviv with white pants with red paint on there telling people not to do good in love. It's not to go love that guy.
But as the Heskel says,
but maybe it'll make chuba.
Sir, yeah, look for the good part,
but
huh?
But he might make chuba. The guy may make chuba. You don't pray the guy dies. You pray the guy makes chuba. Tomorrow's set. You don't pray the guy just dies. Pray that he makes chuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And women also, if there's like two, when we talk about respect in English, if there's like two sort of two different kinds of respect. There's a respect that's earned. But maybe a certain respect that we just give, you know, like he's...
As we are human beings.
Yeah, that just like maybe, it might be a bad analogy, but like a certain respect you give to, you know, see, someone brought up the speaker talking about a flower, you know, like you don't just step on a flower, you see a flower, you don't necessarily
because
just carelessly precious. Yeah. Now there maybe it's a bad analogy, because there you know, like, Shem created this, and so you're choosing.
It exists.
What does the Gemara say is the school of for women not to have miscarriages? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Bible. The Mara source, Chazal actually says. What does it say?
Mm-hmm.
It says miscarriages occur because of baseless hatred or not loving a fellow Jew or not getting a friend. Now, things like that. When you need a kavanita. If you're hating on somebody else, can lead to death. Like your fetus is,
When you're davening the Shmon Esrei comes to Lasanim, so it talks about your enemies, that they should be destroyed. But it talks about the ones that are Jewish, that you have to pray for them to try to come back, not to have them destroy them. Someone like Dr. P, you gotta pray that he's gonna change. He's gonna see the light one day.
Yeah.
The other person that's out to kill you all the way, yes, ask Hashem to destroy them. But your own people, you have to ask Hashem to try to help them out, to show them the light.
Get stronger in Jewish
practice. But I don't expect anybody to trust me when they first meet me. I think that's silly. No, because I don't trust anybody when I first meet them.
That's your mistake.
That's not a mistake.
That is a mistake.
I'll keep you alive, man.
No, if You're going to learn being a Jewish person. You have to try to show a person that you care about them, even though they have the badness in them. If you, like I said before, if you show them, give them respect, it's going to be different. I get on the bus.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't stop near the corner to let me on. The one that does, every morning I pick up Danishes myself.
Mm-hmm.
I buy two little Danishes and give them. I even give it to the Arab guys that are nice enough to pull over. Yesterday, one of the guys recognized me. He saw me way further down where they usually never pick up anybody. He stopped at Dafka to let me off. Now, one time, this guy would have never done this. But I want to show my appreciation to him. So in the morning, I pick up Danishes. If they're good and pull over to the side, I give it to him. I don't give them when I start getting off. I give them it right away. And this way here, they'll think of other people.
That,
sure
that
enough,
was,
he stopped way before.
Over time.
But these are guys that just don't care, these drivers. And all of a sudden, I'm making them think differently.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah.
So that's what I meant when I said to you, the guy could be evil inside. But look inside of his goodness inside
he has
him, and he sees
way of
that,
goodness, yeah.
And he'll start changing.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, this guy pulled right over to me, far down from the red lines, because he picked me up some other time, and I gave him he couldn't see me running and waiting for the other bus, and the bus has come down Schultz and constantly, so I'm not
uh-huh.
worried.
Uh-huh.
He stopped, and then he went further on and opened up the door again. All right, just that little, what do you call that, pickle of the Yiddish word for it. And it made a difference. And he's going to speak every single time now when he sees an older person. Most of the time, he's maybe.
I don't know what it means. Trust seems like something else, though.
Trust is another story.
Trust, like you don't know. Like someone says, all right, you know, like, right, he's dressed as a, in a friendly way.
That you have to be careful with, all right? You can't say, I'm going to trust everybody. That, no, you're right. But you got to look to try to find the good.
You better figure it out. Until you see it doing something.
Okay, and also, you know, Blavi Yitzchak Berdichev used to find something good in everyone, yeah? So when once he went on the road, yeah? It was morning, and he saw this horseman trying to fix his carriage with tar and all that, the hammer, and was wearing a talus and tefillin.
Yeah.
With his talus and tefillin, trying to fix his carriage. So his Talmud went with him and says, look at this, and look, he's in the middle of davening, and look what he's doing. In the middle of davening, he's repairing his carriage. He said, no, that's not what you see here. What we see here is a Jew that is repairing his carriage. And even then, he's not forgetting his talus and tefillin.
Still there.
So it's, you know, especially what you look at. Exactly. Look at positive. Enough. So anyway, we've got to do also the next paragraph. So first one is, you should honor your friend as you honor yourself. Next paragraph is, Achihud.
Don't be easily provoked.
Don't be easily provoked. Wow.
I didn't hear. I didn't hear.
You shouldn't easily become angry, provoked to anger.
Why?
Anger.
Anger. Well, as the Torah says, you're not supposed to have two things in your heart. Two masters.
It's like a bodhisattva.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like a bodhisattva. It says only on this. You know, it has many bad many bad habits, but on anger, this works. It's like a bodhisattva. There's also something very special about anger, as we see from the Rambam. There's a reason why he writes about this. Rav Lezer says, don't be angry. You know, he says, well, we talk about your... He's talking... Rav Lezer is now... We spoke about Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Understand why it's important. Ownership is to honor each other and to respect each other is important. The relationship between you and your friend. Now we're talking about your inner self. How to develop your inner self. How to keep it. So the most important thing he's saying, what should get away of? What should be careful of? Not to get angry. Not to look down. I mean, we have a lot of habits, a lot of bad habits. Yeah. This one. Why this one? So as Rabbi Adam said, Hagoyin Harav,
just a guy who sits and reads a lot.
Said, the Torah says it's like a Avodah Zarah. Yeah. I want also to add something interesting. If we'll manage to maybe continue next, but let's say the Rambam has in the beginning of his book, Yad HaChazakah, Halachic book, he has a chapter called Hilchot Deot. It talks about what sort of habits you should keep and what you shouldn't. Manners, the way you should develop yourself. It talks about, you know, you shouldn't be talk too much, don't talk much in horror, and so on. Now we all know the rule of the Rambam, and it brings it there for halacha. I mean, it's not just, you know, recommendations. It's halacha. It says some people could be like extremely, could be extremely, let's say, with nature of not to care about anything. Yeah? Some people care very much. Yeah? You know, extreme. Yeah? Some extremely care, some extremely don't care. Some people love very much. To eat and to drink, and some people hate it. Some people, the nature is they extremely like to give people, like to help people. They could even some people, not many, but some people could even give the whole everything they have to give it to the poor, and some people won't give anything. So what? How should we develop our nature? Where should we go? So there's the famous Rambam that says that the rule, the way we should go, is the golden path, the middle. Not to be too generous. Not to give all what you have. Also not to give anything. You should do the middle. Give tzedakah. As the Torah says, how much should you give? You should give. You shouldn't be too much scared of anything. You shouldn't also be, you know, careless. Yeah, you should be in the middle. Be careful a bit, but not too much, you know, not to have too much too much of any part of anything that is extreme is bad. Anything that's extreme is bad. Anything. That's his main idea. Try to go in the middle. That's the famous golden path. It's based also on the Aristotle idea of doing things in the middle. But he also uses the same term, golden path. But there's one thing the Rambam says you shouldn't at all get near it. He says sometimes you should and any one of the midot we have, should use it sometimes. The one thing you should never have, you should get four of it as much as you can, that's anger. Anger. That you should not get near it. Anyway, extremely far away from it. Why is it? Why do you think anger, according to the Rambam, and to the Halakha, is the most... It's so bad to have a nature of getting easily angry that you should extremely get away from it. Why? Why is it? What do you think?
Like, one thing, I mean, the person loses control of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As I heard one rabbi saying, relating, he said that they were like getting angry and saying things, and at the very same time in his head, he's thinking, you know, oh, I'm getting myself in big trouble. You know, it's like.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Somewhere within a line and a half.
Something bad happens. Yeah. What's the
sense of smell?
Smell.
Somewhere within a line and a half of that word anger is going to be something dealing with a sense of smell.
Well, in the Torah, it's sometimes I'm using the word of Korona. anger in the nose. Maybe it's the way of.
The reason, the senses.
You lose your senses. So maybe next year we'll talk a bit more about it. But what I want to now repeat what Larry said. Yeah, exactly. Because the most important thing is, you should always keep your inner self. I mean, you could do bad things, but it's yourself.
Don't
you decide it. But if you lose anger, you lose yourself.
Yeah.
That's why it's so bad. That's what the Rambam says.
Isn't there a time and a place for it, though?
No, never.
Never?
That's what the Rambam says. Never. Because always, if you're doing something, not because you lost control, because you're not yourself, then nothing could... There's no way that you can justify it. No way.
If I went to your house,
yes,
for Shabbat,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and your wife brought out food, yeah,
mm-hmm,
and instead of using the tongs or the spoon or the fork to get the food out, I just scoop it out with my hand and throw it on the plate.
So it's bad.
Wouldn't that upset you? Wouldn't that upset your wife?
You can get upset, and maybe you can even talk. And the Rambam says, You can talk as if you're angry. That's okay, in order that people should be careful. But never be inside angry, really.
But I mean, you would be, because you'd be like, "This dude."
So that's what Rambam says. That's what Rambam says. You shouldn't. Never. Never lose control. Never.
Isn't that like a?
Never. Never lose control.
I mean, would I ever pick up a French fry with the hand?
I busted like three people this week digging their hands in the food, and I'm like, don't do that. And the example I give every time is like, I tell you what, man, give me an invite to your house for Shabbat, and then I'll do it at your house in front of your wife and your food. And then when she asks why I did that, I say, I learned it from your husband. Guess what?
You'll never be invited again by the husband. My father always had a saying, because I used to have a very bad temper. He said, you might be right, but the minute you yell, you lose.
Good. Wow.
That was the saying all the time.
Good saying.
So this idea of having that external anger, like there's a purpose.
External is okay.
There's a purpose for, divine purpose for anger, for the facade, at least, for the external anger.
Yeah.
But but even like this idea, like if I recommended, like, person's upset about something,
which
wait until this the
calm
the
down
before talking to the person,
yeah, and then do it, yeah, then say it.
Yeah, I've done that too. I've waited like 2 or 3 days, and I've noticed that how I want to handle it and do handle it later is different from when it happened then. But I think there's some stuff that needs addressed like immediately, like don't do your hands in the air.
It's okay. You can show anger. You can say what you think, yeah, but inside, keep yourself. That's what Rambam says. Always, because if you're losing yourself, you're not there, and that's why it's called the Avodah Zarah. Because you're not working yourself, you're working something outside of you, it's not you. Yeah, and you're doing according to something that is not you, it's not you. Keep you. That's the. Okay. Very much next year,